Basically, if you were just with us here, having been with us the last couple of weeks, we're in the middle of a series on spiritual gifts.
Evangelism, and it comes out differently. One could be
somebody who's a speaker, somebody, or another person could be a one-on-one evangelist. Another person could be gifted in producing evangelistic tracts. It can, you know, come out in different ways, but we don't all have the gift of evangelism. Number 7 says, every Christian should do his or her best to exercise all of the spiritual gifts mentioned in the New Testament. Oh, I mean, these are kind of, a lot of these are all the same, you know, in fact, that'll just kind of lead to frustration. You know, you might think, oh, well, gosh, I have to be a teacher then, but I'm not a teacher, and it leads to frustration. No, that can actually kind of be free. In fact, that leads into number 8. Number 8, in order to not become one-sided, Christians should be particularly active in those areas which they do not possess any gifts. False again. Because it should be a relief to find out areas that you're not gifted in. It kind of releases you. It frees you up to focus on things that God created you for. It's okay to discover things that you don't need to make the focus of your ministry. And we've talked a little bit before, and we'll talk later about the difference between a spiritual gifting and a universal responsibility. You know, I might not have the gift of evangelism, but it doesn't mean I never share my faith. Or I might not have the gift of health, but it doesn't mean I never serve. There's a difference between gifting and universal responsibility. But it is freeing to know that the areas where I won't need to focus to be the focus of my ministry. Number 8. Number 9. Spiritual gifts are only present when there is no adequate natural explanation for the event. False. And there are some people who would maybe say that yes, but spiritual gifting is not just supernatural healings. And some people would say that's the only spiritual gift. If it's just something, you know, supernatural like that, like a healing or a work of miracles or interpreting tongues or something like that. But somebody can have the gift of helps, and you might think, well, is that a gift? No, that's awesome. I'll tell you what, the people that come here and clean like once a month here, if I was to be able to do that good of a job at cleaning at our house, Amy would come home and say, that was a miracle. She would say, that was a supernatural event that has occurred. I don't have that gift. Now, am I called on, I don't have that gift, so I should never clean? No. No, I should do my best and better than I
know.
Join
us, Cal.
What's
that?
Join
us once a month, and then you'll be able to do the job Amy wants you to do.
Okay, let's pray.
Sorry.
The results apply for a lifetime. And the natural reaction might be true there, but that's actually false too, because your gifts can get revealed as you gain experience and grow in your walk. You might not know that you have a gift of voluntary poverty until you get put in that situation, or the gift of giving until you actually experience it and the joy that can come with that. Number 11, the Bible clearly teaches that there are 3 categories of gifts that relate to the colors green, blue, and red. You know, kind of like we've been studying. False. This is one way to categorize them. There are others. In fact, the gift test that we handed out is not in 3 colors. You can see how they're very closely related, but there are minor differences as people go through. So, this isn't the only biblical way to look at spiritual gifts. Number 12, a Christian should exercise his or her gifts, but should not talk about them. Well, that would be a problem, because that's what we're doing now. As we learn about it, and iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another, so we're talking about them so we understand how God has placed us together. 13, anyone who holds a leadership position for should not have the corresponding yes should resign. Does that apply to that same statement, Julie? No? Okay. Okay, go on the comment and then right away resign from that. Now, scary as it sounds, the answer to that actually is true. It's important for us to hold things loosely, like titles. Like, I need to allow the right person to step in and take over a task or ministry if they're better at it. Sometimes there's people that just do things because they need to be done, whether they have a gifting or not. But in most cases, those people are more than willing to give those things up if somebody else would come with that gifting would come along to pick those things up. And then number 14, the only reason God gives us spiritual gifts is to deepen our personal relationship with Him. That's false. That's not the only reason. He gives us gifts to serve others. Your gifting relates to ministry. You've been given a gift to give it away and to build up others. You know, there are three major passages in Scripture that we generally look at when it comes to gifting. Alright, I'm just going to do the point. Thanks, Andy. In Romans 12, verse 6 or 8, we see some of the gifts here. Right, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. That's a really misunderstood one. Right? When we say prophesy, prophecy, you know, we tend to think because of movies and stuff, oh, you know, this is the child who will bring balance to the force according to the prophecy. But, you know, not always that kind of prophecy, not foretelling, but forthtelling. You know, as God's Spirit leads someone to make a biblical teaching clear, is prophecy. Then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. Actually, list that as a spiritual gift. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So you can see all of those areas that are underlined are different giftings that are listed in Scripture. I'll pretend. I'll go like that, and you can answer. There we go. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 verse 11, 7 through 11 gives us another list. We can see the underlying our spiritual gifts. It says, now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And again, I'm not going to go through all of these. Some denominations' teachings list these differently, like a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Some people would just lump that all together with prophecy. As you go through it, you read here, and we'll have more information on each of these giftings next week. You know, how those are defined. But to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues. And of course, there's a wide beliefs about which spiritual gifts listed in the Bible are available to us today, which were just in the apostolic period, or, you know, so there's a wide range of opinions there. But all of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And then finally, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. We'll talk a little bit more next time about what apostles mean. And teachers, to equip His people for works of service. Again, all these things are to be put to work, to use to serve, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The some final thoughts today. Take out your bulletin sheet if you have it. There's a little bit of an outline there. And this is something, whether you have a result of your spiritual gift test or not, just be honest. How many of you actually completed this one? Okay? Got some people who completed it. If you haven't, please do it this week. I kind of figured that might happen, so you got to put in a buffer week, so you'd have one more week to finish it. If you didn't get one, come up and see me afterwards. They're up here. If you would like one of these books, we do have a couple extra. If you would like to really go deep into all of what we've been talking about, because really I can only hit in the time available we have surface level of what they explain as far as the spiritual giftings, and there's also an additional spiritual gift test in here. If you'd like one of these books, cost $10, come see me afterwards. I can get one of those. But just some thoughts, steps on discovering your spiritual gifts. And since I'm just pretending now, I'll pretend that my finger does it. There we go. All right. Step one is to open up to God in prayer. Right? You're taking a spiritual gift, you're not just taking the ACT, right? Whether you're taking a spiritual gift test or you're reading a book on spiritual gifts or taking part in a workshop, you need to continually ask God, what is it you want to show me? And not just to confirm what you already know, but to make new spiritual discoveries. So to pray, what is it God is trying to show you through process? Number two, be ready to apply your gifts. Okay? And we'll be talking to you about this in the weeks to come as we kind of get the results in. In fact, as you finish your results, for those of you who did raise your hand, I would love if you could email me your top two or three gifts that you discovered by going through this process to give a better picture of, where we are as a congregation and how God has gifted us corporately, not just individually. But spiritual gifts are given to us to accomplish certain tasks. In fact, 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you think about it, if we're not willing to use our spiritual gifts, why should God give them to us? Third, number three, is to get informed. At the end of the gift test, we've taken it here, and we'll have some more copies out of this book for next week, but it talks a little bit about each of the spiritual gifts. You go to the back, gift administration, gift of giving. Talk about the characteristics of the gift, the liabilities of each gift. Sometimes if you have a certain gifting, there's negative aspects to it as well if you try and exercise that gift under your own power instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. But to get informed, to read a book about spiritual gifts. If you want a suggestion, where do I start on that? Something beyond what we've already looked at, you should talk to Tabitha. She has a number of resources on this topic about spiritual gifts. The author of the book, Three Colors of Ministry, he writes, "The large percentage of the difficulties currently troubling many local churches stems from the fact that most Christians simply are uninformed regarding the divine principles of gift-oriented ministry." So get informed. And fourth, begin with what you enjoy. There's kind of this myth that ministry is only really ministry if a person suffers for it or suffers for it. If you enjoy it, is it really a ministry? There's that question. No, you should start with what brings you joy. Those with the gift of evangelism enjoy helping others come to faith. Those with the gift of hospitality enjoy taking others into their homes, not having guests in their homes. Those with the gift of service enjoy performing even those tasks that are not highly visible, as long as it builds up the church. It's always been God's intention that using our spiritual gifts will bring us joy. God knows that if we enjoy a certain task, we're naturally going to perform it a lot better. And the people who we're in regular contact with will regularly notice if we're enthusiastic about a task or if we're just performing our duty in a kind of tired and frustrated manner. So if you want to discover your spiritual gifts, first ask yourself, what do you enjoy? Number five, experiment as much as possible. You know, these tests that we're taking aren't definitive. You know, just like people can't all agree on which spiritual gifts are actual spiritual gifts, the tests are good, but they're kind of like polls. You know, there's a margin of error, maybe a plus minus 3%, 5%, something like that. You know, some of it might depend on how your mindset is when you're taking the test. Are you feeling good about yourself about that day? Are you projecting what you would like your results to be? You know, the gifts you would like to have? Or are you, you know, are you overthinking the test? Did you go with experience or past behavior? If you open up this test and right at the beginning, number four, the question is, I respond freely and willingly to requests for financial support of worthy Christian endeavors. Frequently, sometimes, seldom or never. Well, I might read that and say, well, I sure would like to, or if I ever had the opportunity, I'm sure I would. Instead of looking at, well, you know, what is my past behavior been? Really, you know, take one with a test with sober judgment. All that to say, experiment. Some of you worked in Sunday school and figured out that teaching small kids isn't for you. Some of you figured out that it is. Most of the time, long-term missionaries start as short-term missionaries. See if that's an area that God has gifted them. You know, sometimes somebody doesn't realize they have a gift of giving until they've actually experienced the joy that comes from, really sacrificially giving from their resources. Or, someone with a gift of evangelism doesn't realize that sometimes until they actually get over that initial fear of sharing their faith. Someone with a gift of healing would never know it if they didn't actually go and pray for those who are sick and needing healing. Sometimes a gift of teaching. One of my favorite teachers, some of you might know, is a man named John Ortberg. And when he first started preaching, every time he got up in front of people, he started, first time, just pass out right in the middle of the message. And he did it another time. And then the crowd really started to grow because what is this going to happen again? And he's trying to wonder, boy, I really felt like this was something God wanted for my life. And he's kind of ended up living with that, you know, that feeling of anxiety. And yet he is, you know, one of the most gifted teachers that I know. So, okay. And number six, verify your effectiveness. And that's just simple. Are you seeing results, fruit of, you know, the gift of evangelism? Are people coming to faith, you know, through your testimony? Or are you seeing fruit in the areas of the ministry that you're in? And then finally, number seven, seek the opinion of others. You know, from other Christians or from our church and beyond, should provide confirmation of your gifts. You know, one of the dangers would be to say, well, you know, I really felt like this is an area that God's leading me, and I prayed about it, and God has shown me that this is what I'm supposed to do, and I would be great in this ministry or doing this particular thing, and they are the only ones that see it that way. And everybody else is like, I don't really know about that. So a lot of times we need to have, you know, confirmation from others that it should be apparent to others that when we have a certain gift. And that's just, you know, kind of a general, you know, warning sign. When we have other believers saying, you might want to, you know, rethink that. So obviously, as you go through this gift process, as you're hopefully filling out, you know, going through the test and doing the part where that's why, you know, what we talked about, one of the pages, number 12, is where you copy it out and give it to another person. You know, which of these do you see most in me? Which of these areas do you see that I'm most gifted? So if we go through this whole thing, we can't individually go through everybody's test right here. I mean, we obviously, this isn't the kind of setting. In fact, one of the ways to go through this book is like a 12-week small group with, you know, much more time for individual discussion. However, I would be happy to meet with you to discuss these things individually. However, if you want really good insights onto the results or have more questions about them, you should meet with Tabitha. Because she is way more gifted than I am with this. She has so much background in this area, in studying formally and on her own. Done a lot of research in this area, great resource for us to have as a congregation. So I would encourage you to set up a time with Tabitha or myself, but to meet and talk about these things individually. And as you send, you know, information in to us, you know, this is where it seems like, you know, I've been gifted and it seems to be confirmed, you know, where we go from there. And I didn't tell her that I was going to do this, but the last couple of weeks when we were having, we're going through the series, Tabitha will come up right afterwards and say, I was busting this, you know, just there's so much information that, you know, there's not enough time to share it all. Are you busting right now?
No, I'm not busting right now. I've been busting all the other
people. Okay. All right. But I was going to say, if there's something right here that I'm leaving out, you want to. Okay. But because she's right, there's so much that just can't be explained in a short period on a Sunday morning. But really, seek her out as far as you know, helping you go through that individually, because sometimes it can be a little bit confusing. So next week we're going to continue on in this series, possibly wrap it up. But I want to talk about how we as a church are gifted, what that means for us. But we'll talk more about the use and abuse of gifts. You know, there's ways we can use them, and there's ways that we can abuse them. And sometimes one gift may be lorded over another. Talk about training our gifts. Talk about receiving or remaining open to discovering, you know, additional gifts. And just, you know, maybe not receiving, but, you know, at least, you know, discovering as we go through our life, additional gifts that we have. The danger of gift projection. You know, why doesn't everybody else do what I find so easy? Right? Doesn't everybody, I'm gifted in, well, why can't everybody else, you know, be like that? So to talk about that, and then the difference between gifts and kind of what we call whims of the moment. In fact, I just want to hit that last one just briefly before we end. You know, some churches that have gone through this process, they report that they just kind of have catastrophes going through it, because as they go through, there's a discussion about, well, what might be considered less desirable ministry. The response might come back, oh, that's not my gift, and that's just an excuse to leave it to the side. And ultimately, everyone else just ends up doing what they want. And that's not where we want to be. A few years back, it'd be more than a few years now, I played basketball for this a semi-pro team called Lansing Capitals. And the thing about that was, you know, when I was in high school and stuff, you know what everybody wants to do when they play basketball. They want to score. They want to shoot. And early on in life, I was able to kind of have that role. But not with this team, because I was a lot better than me. And my role there was to, you know, play defense and rebound and set picks. You know what I found out? I'm really good at setting picks. I don't know why, you know, I never figured that out before, because I was always, you know, shooting the ball. But I just had a gift for, like, separating the defense from the ball carrier. And, you know, I got good at it. You know, an area, and all of a sudden I found joy in that. And yet that would be considered in the basketball world the least desirable gift, or the least desirable thing you can do is running around setting picks. And sometimes as we go through, we got to be very careful describing what we might think is a less desirable ministry. Rather than fulfilling our universal responsibilities, which we talked about last week, like tithing or sharing the gospel or ministering to those in need, you know, people can excuse their inactivity by saying they don't possess the appropriate spiritual gifts. And gift oriented ministry doesn't mean just doing what I want, but it means allowing God to determine when and where He wants to use me. So, and my guess is that all of us tend to make our lives, subconsciously or not, as comfortable as possible. So any theory that we can come up with in our head that maintains our comfort level is kind of one we'll latch on to. And, you know, teaching on spiritual gifts could be used for that as well, so we want to make sure that we don't do that. God is much more interested in our character than our comfort. Our graduates were given a gift this morning, and we're really hoping that they're going to use it. God has gifted all of us, all of those that have trusted His Son for salvation, and He's really hoping that you're going to use those gifts in His kingdom for His glory, for a part, you know, as a part of the whole team and the benefit of the whole team, of which each of you are a part. So, let's